right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we talk about stuff, junk, things, minutia, etc., miscellaneous. I'm Parker, and with me as always is co-host Jason Frisbee, who does not want to say hello.
Not today. Buster.
Rude Jason Frisbee. Doesn't even want to acknowledge the listeners.
I read my horoscope and it said I had to make a change, and I'm changing to be a rude dickhead.
Or maybe you just got Freaky Friday'd with John Holmes.
Probably. That's more than likely it. I did see him this past weekend.
And you guys got Freaky Friday'd?
Yeah, yeah. We both looked at the Jade Monkey at the same time at midnight.
Excellent. You went to Dayton this weekend. How was that? Did you have fun?
It was a blast, man. Yeah, it was really fun. Got to hang out with family and meet up with some friends. Everybody seemed to be doing really well.
Except for poor Joe No Legs.
Well, that goes without saying. But since he said it, yeah, Joe No Legs is pathetic.
Yeah.
Such a wretch.
His life sucks.
Yeah, I hate that guy. Just reminds me how bad life can be. Yeah. How was your weekend?
Oh, same old stuff. I watched a really, really terrible film.
This
movie called Lady in White. We talked about it on Junk Food Dinner, so I don't want to make fun of that movie anymore, because Mark will probably get mad at me. But, we don't have a Junk Food Dinner this week, so I have no crappy movies to watch this week, and I'm really sad. It's like the first time we've taken off a week on Junk Food Dinner in, like, a year or something. So I'm, like, real sad. Miss those guys.
That's a bummer. How are you going to fill in that week? Are you doing, like, a best of or anything?
No, we're not going to do anything.
You're just taking Halloween off.
Yeah, well, yeah. Kevin went to New York and Boston, Massachusetts, and New York. So, I don't know. We'll probably make up for it at some point and do two shows in 1 week.
That's a hell of a lot of movies to watch in 1 week.
Man, we fucking love movies, though. We love them.
I can tell.
You can tell by me saying, oh, I watched the worst movie this week.
Exactly. I hated that movie. I'm done making fun of it because I don't want to be made fun of for it by these people who hate how I don't like their movies.
Yeah. But anyway, this is Pool Party Radio. Like we said, you can find us at poolpartyradio.com. We got episodes there. This is also our Halloween, Pooloween spectacular, if you will. So, you know, we're going to talk about some Halloween stuff later. I guess we should probably just kick everything off proper. And the way that we properly kick things off, as per tradition on this show, is talking about what we learned this week. So, Mr. Frisbee, would you like to start it off?
Sure. Well, I learned from my trip back to Ohio that Halloween is way more effective in the Midwest. And I know we discussed this recently with Mr. Unstable. I think we even discussed it the first time he was on the show. But seeing the differences up close, it's undeniable. Like, the Midwest definitely kicks ass at celebrating Halloween. And what I mean is, like, decorations and displays, not just on people's lawns, but around town. Like, people are nuttier about it. And the scenery does help, like the fall leaves and the chill in the air and all that good stuff. But there's definitely more going on Halloween-wise. And as compared to the South, like, there's like nothing going on here. I mean, somebody decorated their balcony in this apartment complex that we're in with like one of those kind of like autumnal leaf decorations that you'd pick up from like Party Supply or Party Plus World. I don't know the names of these places. I forgot what they were called, but it's like a chain of plastic leaves, and that's what they put on their balcony railing. But if you go back to Ohio, then they have like goofy shit like glowing jack-o'-lanterns on one of those same chains, fake spider webs, some Draculas, a really bad looking mummy slash wolfman looking thing, or big feetsman looking thing. Here, what we had on the news last week was that somebody had to take down their quote decoration unquote in Charlotte because it was a stuffed pair of jeans with like boots attached to the cuffs of the jeans, and that was stuck under a tractor, and that was it. And it wasn't like, you know, the wheel was on top of the midsection. It just looks like, you know, a pair of legs with the boots just sticking up underneath a tractor. No blood, no guts. Like in Ohio, there'd be blood, there'd be guts. The tire would be on the guts, and the guts would be spilled out everywhere, and it'd be horrifying to look at.
It would probably just be like a real dude if it was in Ohio. Like,
right, right.
If your poor Uncle Richie died that week, he would become your decorations.
And that's probably how Johnny No Legs lost his legs. In this case, yeah, people got offended by that, by a stuffed pair of jeans just lazily tossed underneath this thing, and they're like, take that down. I don't know if it's a Bible Belt thing or what, but it's just, you know, they would lose their minds if they walked around like any part of Ohio.
Yeah, they would just walk around horrified all the time.
Yeah. Even with like those goofy tombstones, it's like, IP Freely's buried in your front lawn? This is disgraceful.
I do declare I've got the vapors from this.
They would get so many vapors. Oh, God. Anyway, that's what I learned this week.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like that here, too. I don't understand how people even recognize Halloween in California, because, I mean, it was like 80 degrees today, sun shining and all this kind of stuff. Like, I don't understand, like, why anybody feels like it's Halloween. Like, I kind of feel like Halloween should be moved around. Like, if you live in different parts of the country. Like, obviously, Phoenix, Arizona, they don't need to celebrate Halloween at the same time Dayton, Ohio does. Like, move it back to February. That way people can feel Halloween-y.
Right, right. Like, everything's kind of dead.
Yeah, you need everything to be dead. You can't, it can't be 80 degrees and sunshiny.
Right. It's like, happy Halloween! Let's go to the pool! Ooh! Doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, it's not scary here at all. And then they always do this big zombie walk here, and it's, you know, everybody's wearing shorts and flip-flops because it's so hot. Like, I've never seen a zombie wear shorts and flip-flops, man. That's not gonna, that doesn't fly.
I've never seen a perspiring zombie. They can't. They're just completely dehydrated.
That's true.
Yeah, but we got one of those things going on here, too. A zombie walk, I mean.
Yeah, those zombie walks. I've never been to one, but they always look goofy. Like, I always look at pictures afterwards and stuff. And there's always, like, one guy who's, like, really into it and, like, really, like, in character. And then just all these assholes that are just, like, have their red cups full of beer and they're just partying. Just they put, like, a drop of fake blood on their forehead and they're like, hey, I'm a zombie, too. It's fun. Like, I think if you're going to do zombie walks, you should exclude anybody who's not in character.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I think the one that they tried in Dayton, you know, I think it was just a one-year event. Because it didn't go off well. And there's enough Halloween going on everywhere else anyway. Yeah, it was exactly that. Like, just dudes looked very well fed. Maybe had some black eye makeup on and standing completely upright. It's like, you know, you would have rigor mortis set in. You would not be standing posturized. So.
I think they need stricter rules here. Clamp down on these sons of bitches, for God's sake.
Hell yeah. What did you learn this week?
I learned that if you are to come out with a remake, if you want to remake a movie, you're probably going to be savvy enough to realize that all the horror fans in the world are going to hate it simply because it's a remake. So if you maybe just change one or two lines in the movie to make it seem like this remake is a prequel, then all these horror fans will celebrate you and marvel at your achievement and say that you're great for doing this.
I saw this tweet. Yeah, I remember this tweet. Yeah, go on. Explain, please.
Yeah, well, a lot of people I know who normally hate remakes are all in love with this The Thing remake because, you know, the sort of flimsy pretext it has of being a prequel. Of course, to make a prequel to The Thing, of course, being a movie about people stuck in Antarctica fighting an alien that can change shape and look like the people you're there with. So if you make a movie that is exactly that and call it a prequel, I mean, it fits. It's apropos. It's a lot easier than saying you're going to make a remake of Freddy and calling it a prequel or something because you have to deal with all this continuity. But with The Thing, it's easy. Same exact movie, one line that says, hey, I wonder when Kurt Russell's going to show up, and then bam, you got a prequel. So I think if you just get rid of the stigma that goes along with calling your movie a remake, then people will like it just because they don't want to seem like they will ever like a remake in their entire lives.
Yeah, I didn't get that at all. Like, I need to watch The Thing straight through, and I know it's shameful because I'd watched it broken up, but I remembered some key elements of the film, and then I saw the trailer for this new one, and it's like they were just reproducing those same elements. I didn't know this was supposed to be a prequel. I thought it was just a shot-for-shot remake.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is, but I mean,
they try to play it off as a prequel.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be sort of like just by, I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm assuming all they do is tack on a couple of lines that make it seem like it takes place before the original thing. You know, I mean, it would be sort of like if at the end of the Freddy remake, if somebody's like, you know, like some neighbors are standing outside and they're like, oh, look, Nancy's moving in. And like, that's it. Like, that's all you have to do to make that a prequel. And I'm sure everybody would have liked that Freddy remake if they would have just added that one little scene.
Gotcha.
I don't know. Like I said, I haven't seen it, so it's possible that there's all this prequel-y stuff, all these many scenes of Kurt Russell moving into the house next door, but I doubt it.
Well, it can't be as bad as the Halloween remake, that's for sure.
Oh, heavens, to Murgatroy. Nobody has ever said anything more true. That's the worst remake ever.
And that one takes more presence of trying to be a prequel. Like, what if... here's what happened to Michael Myers. Hey, you remember all that backstory that you didn't get from Michael Myers, which made it completely interesting and fascinating? We're going to fill all that in and make it completely uninteresting and not fascinating. In fact, that's another John Carpenter film that's been ruined by modernization. Like, the original still remains awesome, but people try to remake it and do their own twist of, like, filling backstory or making it into the prequel that it's not supposed to be. Like, the excitement is in just being thrown into this scenario.
Yeah.
Like, Michael Myers just jumps on the hood of your car and is off on a killing spree.
Yeah,
what's so good.
Yeah, Michael Myers is known as, like, the boogeyman and the shape. And now, because of Rob Zombie, he's known as that whiny little kid with a shitty family. And it's not scary anymore.
He's known as the lead singer to the Arcade Fire as a child. Yeah,
that remake, not a very good, I've said this before, but not a very good Michael Myers movie, but a totally excellent Jason movie, because we got this kid who's kind of a retard, who's got mommy issues, and then his mom dies, and he's haunted by his mother, and he's got retard strength. Those are all things that Jason did. I think maybe Rob Zombie really wanted to do a Jason remake, but instead they gave him the next best thing. They gave him the bargain bin Jason, and he was like, all right, I'll do this. Let me X out where it says Crystal Lake and add in Haddonfield. Boom. We got a sauce going.
You got a stew going, baby.
Part of the Red Band Network. RedBandNetwork.com.
Elvira here, mistress of the dark and sometimes surfer babe, because Coors Light is the official beer of Halloween and the parties at the beach. Malibu Beach, where you can hang ten. And of course, when it's time to chill, just reach for that cooler of Coors Light. Aged ice cold, never frozen stiff. It's the right beer now for Halloween. Just look for the Super Bowl and smooth display and dig up your friends now for a party at the beach. Happy Halloween, dudes.
Yeah. So speaking of scary movies, I think we're going to do a good, the bad, and the ugly of scary movies. And much like last week, because we don't want to poo-poo on Halloween too much, we're going to do a good, the bad, and the good. This is a thing we've done before multiple times on the show. You probably know how it's played, how we do it. It's, you know, we pick a topic, i.e. scary movies, and then we talk about, we give a good example, a bad example, and usually an ugly example, but we're going to give two good examples.
And this one's about scary movies in the Halloween spirit. So what makes them scary, when we watch them initially, and if they're still scary, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
What was your first good pick for this?
My first good is The Strangers. This movie came out a couple years ago, and as such, a lot of people hate on it because it's new, and horror movie fans tend not to like something until it becomes 20 years old. But The Strangers is awesome. Liv Tyler's in it. There's also a pretty cool Wilco song that's in it. It's about a guy and a gal who live way out in the country. They hear weird rustling outside in the yard. They're greeted by a weirdo visitor. And then a couple of people wearing really scary masks, harass them for an entire night and eventually do violence upon them. It's very scary because anytime you're out, if you're home alone at night, in your suburban house or your urban apartment, much less, a rural setting by yourself, you're always going to assume that there are like ghosts or people who want to kill you just outside your window. That's just kind of human nature. But the idea that it's actually going to happen is frightening because, we've all kind of just gotten used to it. Like, if you're home alone at 3 a.m. and you hear a raccoon knock over your trash can, you go, oh my god, I'm 3 minutes away from being murdered brutally by something. But, maybe it won't happen. And so we've kind of conditioned ourselves to not be scared of it too much anymore. But, the idea that you actually should be scared of that sound outside your door or window is very frightening, and this movie is very scary. Have you seen this movie?
I have, and I remember seeing it in theaters when it first came out, and that was actually a date movie, and one of my picks has a lot to do with that. Actually, I bring it up twice, how horror movies are really good for a date night. They're just classics. It's a good excuse to sort of put your arm around the other person or just freak out and kind of test the waters that way. Like, what really scares the other person? But yeah, that was a date night thing. And for the theatrical release, it was a completely packed house. Like, they had sold out nearly of tickets. So we had to sit towards the front of that multiplex stadium-style seating. We're on the ground all the way at the front of this movie theater. And that was just excellent. I think that's really one of the only ways to watch some horror movies. Like, you can't watch all horror movies on the small screen and expect to get the same reaction out of it. Mm-hmm. And the reactions during The Strangers were particularly excellent. Just moments where the entire audience would gasp. And what made it extra good was all the way in the front row with us were 14 high school kids who came to see the movie together. And like seven of them were sitting on the floor in front of their friends. And most of them were just like shrieking girls. It was ridiculous. That's how I imagine movies supposed to be, having supposed to be experienced, just by seeing how movies were watched in early 80s movies, mm-hmm. where it'd just be like a theater where a party's going on and people are like throwing shit everywhere. And they would like react to the film and freak out. People are just going apeshit and nuts. So that was the closest I'd ever gotten to that experience.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, probably me too. Like, it seems like a lot of times when you go see horror movies now, like, you'll see like a Saw movie and like, like a guy will get eaten by a bear trap and everybody will just be like, ugh. Like, not really caring. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That could have been more gruesome. I didn't care for that.
I can't jerk off to this.
Yeah. So when something actually scary happens, like The Strangers, mm-hmm. people freak out. And this movie's frightening. There's a scene in this movie where Liv Tyler, who does not play an elf in this, she hears a sound and she like opens up the blinds and there's like a dude with a scary mask standing there. And that's like, yeah. That's like one of my worst fears. Like, is to like look outside in the dark and there's just like somebody standing there.
Yeah, something to verify that noise you were talking about. Like, I'm just going to look out and look at the raccoon that was knocking over a trash bin. Oh, it's a guy in a suit and a completely disturbing mask.
Yeah, yeah, this actually happened. It's too bad he's not here, but this happened to our friend Jono, who's been on the show a couple of times. And it's one of my favorite stories, and I always make him tell it to me. But he was hanging out in West Dayton one time at his girlfriend's house, and he heard a sound outside. So he like opens up he pulls away the curtain, and there's a homeless dude standing there, and it scared the crap out of John. So he started screaming. He says, oh, because, he wasn't expecting a dude there. And then the fact that Jono started screaming made the bum scream, so the bum's like, oh, and then the bum ran away. And then like 5 minutes later or something, the bum knocked again on the window, and then Chano opened it. He was like, "What do you want, bum? You scared the crap out of me." And the bum was like, can I get some money?"
So, that's totally reasonable.
Yeah.
You scared me from the security of your home.
Yeah, Jono probably did owe that guy money for scaring the crap out of him.
Yeah, yeah. The way that Jono gets scared, he usually owes somebody in the general vicinity some amount of money.
Yeah. Yeah, so what is your first good?
Now, this is the first movie I remember ever getting scared by, and that's Pet Sematary. Generally, if you watch it now, if you watch it as an adult, it's probably not that scary. But this was one of the first scary movies I saw, and it was my babysitter who was watching it at our house, and I just thought it was, like, totally innocent. I thought it was just about, like, a family that had to deal with a dog dying, and I must have been, like, 4 or 5 at the time. And so I was just realizing what death was and all this stuff, and then the kid dies, and I'm like, oh, that's odd. And then these things come back to life, and I started freaking out. And what I remember about this is first of all, the kid in the movie who comes back to life, looking all pale and grody, just looking like, well, kind of like me. I kind of look like that kid when I was a kid, like the brown hair, bowl haircut looking thing. I was kind of a dorky looking kid, but he was dead. And I was like, oh, I don't want to look at that because that's like a dead kid. That's gross. Dead kid shouldn't be up and walking. What's wrong with this kid? So being so freaked out, I tried to build a fort around me using couch pillows and cushions. And usually I would do this and feel some amount of comfort, but it was not comforting enough. So I had to grab this Sesame Street kids table and use that as extra protection from the television set. So I laid that broad face out in front of like the pillow I had. And like, this isn't helping. I made a lot of pillow forts that week, I'm certain.
Yeah, forts aren't going to save you from those zombies in Pet Sematary.
And like when you're 4 or 5, you kind of think they'll help. Did you ever build a pillow fort when you were a kid? Like if you were scared, or did you just do it for fun?
Yeah, well, I did it for fun mostly, but if I was scared, I would hide under my bed, which doesn't seem to make very much sense because that's where monsters come from. So right. I'm really just saving them the hassle of like coming to find me, I guess.
Kind of giving the white flag, just like, take me.
Just do it quick, monsters. Do it quick. But yeah, Pet Sematary is frightening. That little kid is scary as hell. And that scene where, like, there's that weird, like, old skeleton lady in the bed.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Giving me nightmares forever. Like, next to that, like, just everything in that movie is rainbows and sunshine, because that broad was scary as hell.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's... I don't really remember much after, like, seeing the kid walk around and everything. Because most of that movie, from what I remember, like, there's a lot of scenes that happen in broad daylight outside of, like, the rainstorm scenes. And I just remember that being incredibly creepy, too, because I always kind of assumed, you know, a fair warning for, like, a scary movie is the trope of having, like, darkness and creepy music and all that stuff, or at least, like, some sort of atmosphere. And for the most part, I don't remember Pet Sematary having that. So as a kid, it was very disarming. It's been a long time since I've seen it, so I just remember being piss-ass scared. It was crazy.
Yes, it's a super scary one. I haven't seen it in a couple years, but every time I watch it, like, I'll be like, oh my god, this movie's so scary, I should watch it every day. And then I never do.
Oh, then it loses its luster, I think. So it's probably good that you don't. It's good that you make a promise, but better that you don't watch it.
My bad scary movie is also a Stephen King work. It is It. I don't think it is scary. I tried to watch it. Both times I've tried to watch it, one time I was like 10 years old and one time was a couple months ago, I've fallen asleep because it's so not scary.
It's a long-ass movie too, right?
Yeah, it's like 4 hours long or something.
Jeezy Pete's.
Yeah, too much setup going on here. But yeah, I mean, it's... I don't think clowns are scary. I don't think that... Well, mostly. There's a really scary movie called Clown House. But other than that, I don't think clowns are scary. I don't think people who say clowns are scary actually believe it. I think that's just like kind of a go-to thing to say that you're scared of. Because clowns are nice guys. They're wearing baggy trousers. They're wearing big shoes.
Well, I mean, except for John Wayne Gacy. That's the exception.
Yeah. Like,
That's the only clown that I know of that's raped, murdered, and eaten people. But, you know, I'm sure he wasn't dressed as a clown when he was doing that.
Yeah, and even if he was, it wouldn't be the clown makeup that you were scared of. It would be the penis and the knife inside of you simultaneously that you would be scared of. Like, if I was getting raped and murdered by this guy, I wouldn't be like, oh, you honky nose, take it off, please.
Can you wash your face off? Yeah. Stop making balloon animals.
Please take off those wacky rainbow suspenders, please. I'm so scared. yeah, so most of the time I don't think people are scared of clowns. And this movie is pretty much 4 hours of people being afraid of clowns and nobody just manning up and saying, yo, this motherfucker's a clown. I don't know, it's not scary to me. And I mean, I understand that Tim Curry is like a good actor and I like him, but he's not a very scary clown. I mean, he's probably like the scariest clown aside from those clown house clowns, but still, to be the scariest clown is sort of like being the fastest Johnny No Legs. Like, he doesn't really...
That's not very fast.
Yeah.
I don't know much about this clown house film. Well, I mean, I agree with you with about it. Like, I've tried to watch it a couple of times, and I read the book. But I just remember, like, walking through bits and pieces, not really being all that terrified. Hearing about it, I thought, like, oh, that's pretty scary. This clown that lives in the sewer, that's kind of gross. But, yeah, watching it, I'm just like, hey, it's Tim Curry. Kind of a Dr. Frankenfurter, except as a clown. But what's this clown house like?
Well, it's a movie I haven't seen since I was little. And one of the listeners on Junk Food Dinner clued me in. I couldn't even remember the name. I just knew that there was a scary clown movie. And a Junk Food Dinner listener clued me in and let me know that the movie was indeed Clown House, which was directed by Victor Salva, who did the Jeepers Creepers movies.
Mm.
And who later, it would be revealed, had sex with the star of Clown House, a little kid. And he spent a lot of time in jail for that. So that's pretty scary on its own. But then it's just... Yeah. But it's just this movie about how some clowns escape from, like, an insane asylum for clowns, I guess. And and torture...
Was it Arkham Asylum?
Yeah, it might have been Arkham. Yeah. And they're just Joker henchmen. And they, like, beat up on Sam Rockwell and some other kids for a couple hours and scare the crap out of them.
That's nutty.
It's not on DVD. I gotta track it down and watch it. But, I've been meaning to do it on the Junk Food Dinner show for a long time, but I always get sidetracked by, Ernest movies and stuff.
My bad horror film was the first Saw movie. And I remember seeing this one on a date, actually. And it kind of ruined the theatrical side. Like, when I was a teenager, seeing horror movies on the small screen sort of dissipated from those days, like Pet Sematary. So I could watch stuff on, you know, at home, or in this case, like with a friend across the street that I used to live near named Nick. We'd watch everything from like Clive Barker films to John Carpenter films, just kind of running the gauntlet of American horror films. Like, we didn't really branch out that much. It was this video store nearby that had all these cult movies on VHS. And, you know, they were easy to watch after a while. I think, like, the last movie that scared me on the small screen was Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because it looked very gritty and I was very nervous. But then through theatrical films, like, the movie The Ring had scared me. I remember having to leave multiple times during that. Just to get drinks of water and, like, bring myself back down. It was pretty pathetic. But then after seeing Saw, I remember watching that movie completely unflinchingly. And the girl I was dating at the time asked me, like, oh, well, what'd you think of it? Wasn't it scary? I'm like, no. I did not like that movie at all. It was not scary. And from that point on, like, seeing scary horror films in theaters didn't really do much for me. Up until Guillermo del Toro's The Orphanage. Did you ever see that one?
No, I've been meaning to, though.
That one was ridiculous. I saw that with Warday, actually, who's been on the show before. But yeah, to get a multiplex to work in New York, they have to have these things scrunched up really tight. So it's like your face is very close to the screen. You get the same experience as if you were just sitting like a few rows from the front of the screen, and it takes up your entire vision. And that movie, like, you just can't run away from it. It is terrifying. But Saw was not. remember just watching that and just being wholly disappointed. It's what a parent must feel when their child comes back home with like an F on the report card. I wanted to tell that director to go to his room, but could not.
Yeah. I just recently watched the Saw movies, as I had only seen like one or two of them, and never the first one. But I just recently watched them and reviewed them all for the Junk Food Dinner website. And I thought that the first one was pretty good. Like, it wasn't scary by any means. Like, at no time was I, like, scared or even, like, nervous. But I thought it was kind of, like, original and had a cool ending. But yeah, not scary, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, and Cary Elwes is a plus at any given time. Like, I was always excited when I'd come back to that room and, you know, he was arguing about, like, who should saw off their leg and whatnot. It was a neat concept. I'll give it that, obviously. But yeah, as far as scary movies go, it just wasn't scary.
Yeah, none of those movies like even try to be scary after that. Like, they're just like, hey, we got this guy tied up and his arms are going to get broken and crushed here in a minute. And you already know that that's going to happen. So there's no need to be scared. Also, we've never introduced this person as a character in the film. So you don't really care. You're just excited to see some arms and legs get crushed. So for that, I simultaneously like criticize it and laud it, because that's real stupid, but it's also right up my alley in terms of the fact that I want to see people get punished for crimes. Moral crimes. Yeah, my other good, my final good, is probably, if you were to play this game with enough people, I'm sure it would end up on more bad lists than good, probably. But I think that Signs, the M. Night Shyamalan movie, is incredibly scary.
I knew you were going to say this.
I saw this alone, and so that probably contributed to me being scared. It's probably good that I didn't see it with anybody else, because the part where like the aliens walking around in the cornfield, I probably like would have just jumped right out of my seat and embarrassed myself in front of whoever I was seeing the movie with. But I think, you know, M. Night Shyamalan, say what you will about him, about his shitty writing, because it's all true, but dude knows how to direct pretty well. Like, he can build some tension and he can make things scary. And aliens are scary to begin with. And aliens in this sort of setting are especially scary because it's put in like a realistic sort of way. You know, the people spend a lot of their time watching the news to find out more information about these aliens. And that's probably how things would go down if aliens actually attacked. We wouldn't be proactive. We'd just be watching the news. And so that was scary to me. All of these things were scary. Like, not so much the alien stuck in the pantry, I guess, because I figure that aliens could probably break out of a pantry pretty easily. But the more subtle things, the alien that they catch on video at the kid's birthday party is fucking scary. The alien in the cornfield, things like this, the wacky locust noises they make. And I'm scared of aliens to begin with.
Yeah, you brought that up just a second ago about like how aliens are scary to begin with. And to be honest, like, aliens never really scared me that much. So what is it about aliens that scares you?
Well, I mean, you know, I think that aliens exist, so that puts them in the realm of scary things. Most things that exist I find scary, I think. So automatically, right off the bat, they're scary. But I mean, you know, just the idea that there could be some things out there that are above being caught, that are possibly snatching people up to do weird experiments on them, like in Fire in the Sky, like, that's frightening. You know, the fact that you could, like, or the idea that you could, like, go out into your cornfield one night and, like, just want to be smoking a cigarette and enjoying the night air, and then, you know, some crazy gray aliens will just snatch you up. That's frightening. That's scary.
Yeah, the kidnapping aspect is pretty weird. Like, I always tend to think of the Spielbergian aliens are just like, hey, we want to hang out with you and eat Reese's Pieces.
Yeah.
And not so much like the aliens that just treat you as a test subject. And it's like, we're going to gut you open. And the more you scream, the better, because we don't know much about your race. And you're just a test subject to us.
Yeah, I don't believe in those happy-pantsed ETs and Close Encounters aliens. Or Mac mm-hmm. and Me. I don't believe in Mac and Me. You know, much like the way that Teddy Roosevelt probably felt about going to Africa and seeing all these rhinos and shit, he just wanted to, like, shoot them, cut them open, see what was going on inside of them, see what would happen if you took a hatchet to their head, stuff like this. Like, that's probably the way that aliens would feel about us, And that's scary, I think.
That's really bizarre. It sounds like aliens and Teddy Roosevelt are all like 12-year-old boys. They just want to beat up insects and like, let's open it up. It's the neighbor's cat. Yeah.
That's probably how it would be.
That's how it would go down. Yeah, I've never seen Signs. I've seen a lot of the other Shyamalanian movies, but not that one. And I knew you were going to bring it up at some point. And I was actually going to ask you during the bad section we just did, like, what was the last movie that had scared you in theater or on the small screen? Or if you'd even experienced a difference, like you can watch movies on the small screen, be relatively unaffected, but when you see a movie in theaters that's supposed to be scary, does it scare you? And then I was like, oh no, he's going to talk about the Signs movie, because that's the one that you always bring up as being like terrifying.
Yeah, it scared the crap out of me. That wasn't the most recent one to scare me. The Strangers came out.
Right.
More recent than that. And then The Descent is also very scary. And it.
Oh, yeah.
So scary. So scary. Caves are scary.
Caves are scary. That's the only place where like stuff will legitimately reach out and stroke your hand and you can't see what it is.
Yeah.
When it's not like a haunted trail or a haunted house during Halloween. Yeah. You can go there. You can go to a cave any time of the year and be freaked out pretty easily. Even spelunkers, I'm sure, are still freaked out by caves.
Yeah, they're probably scared the whole time they're down there.
Because they keep watching The Descent all the goddamn time. Like, oh, as they're like rappelling down further. Like, why did I watch The Descent again? This is my job. I won't be able to support anyone.
Yeah, me and my wife, before moving out, like on our way to move from Ohio to California, like the day before or something, we watched The Descent. And, like, we were going through, like, New Mexico and Arizona, and there's, like, all kinds of caves that you can go to along the way, like, these touristy caves that go miles underground that used to be full of, like, scientists researching things, and they're now just, like, you know, empty, so they let people go down there. And we were, like, way too afraid to, like, even consider going into a cave after watching The Descent. But there's probably some really cool geodes down there and stuff, so we probably should have, but...
Stalagmites and stalactites.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. You'll never see him.
Probably not, no. Maybe one day. I want to go back to New Mexico because it's really cool out there. A lot of rattlesnakes and caves. But yeah, yeah.
And Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Mostly Walter White, yeah.
All that meth.
Yeah, so you're not scared of aliens? Do you believe in aliens?
No, I'm on the fence. I'm an alien atheist, I think. Like or an alien agnostic, that's more like it. I don't think there's been legitimate proof yet. I'm not talking like, you know, I know Coast to Coast AM radio has had plenty of proof, but that's not what I'm talking about. I would need something that's like legitimate, like, you know, evening newsworthy. So like, hey, aliens are here and we need to get used to it. That's what I would need to. I mean, obviously, that's going to be the overwhelming factor. Like, if it's on the news and people are telling you about it, like on every news channel, and an alien comes to your front door and is like, hey, just want to borrow a cup of sugar or something, we're aliens, then there's no getting away from the fact that aliens would exist. But the stuff like with, obviously, crop circles are kind of out, and some of the video production that they do now of like forced spaceships making a diamond in the sky. Or did you see any of those videos of like the swirling skies where it looks like a vortex in the sky? Like there's one in Mexico or Brazil.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Another one like in Russia and even in Norway, there was one. And there's like multiple angles of these things.
Yeah, yeah. I saw the Russian one.
I mean, even now, like there was a time when I would have been legitimately freaked out. And I'm like, oh, aliens are possibly out there. But even with those videos, like multi-shots of different angles of these things, I'm not convinced. And yeah, an alien would have to call me up and be like, hey, look outside your window and up slightly, and there'd be a spaceship there, and I'd be like, oh, that's you then. Then, well, I would believe.
Yeah, Billy Ray Cyrus tweeted some pictures of UFOs the other day, so I don't know, if you can't trust Billy Ray Cyrus, who can you trust on the issue?
I never trusted that Billy Ray Cyrus had an achy breaky heart. There's not a whole lot that I can trust with that guy.
But yeah, going back to like Coast to Coast, I've been listening to a lot of Coast to Coast the last couple weeks because I like Halloween and stuff. And I think those guys, like, if you're going to be skeptical of aliens and stuff, like, it should probably be because of the coast-to-coast people. Because, and I've mentioned this before, but, like, they'll be talking to, I've mentioned this, you know, just about people who believe in ghosts and stuff in general, but, like, they'll be talking to a guy who believes in ghosts, and he'll be like, yeah, you know, we must have been visited, you know, back in the day because of the pyramids, and the aliens must have moved them. And then, like, and then George Norrie will interrupt him, and he'll be like, hey, hold on a second, we got to take a call from Jim from east of the Rockies here. And then Jim will be like, hey, alien guy, you're talking about aliens, but what about the Sasquatches? What do they have to do with aliens? And then the guy will go on for like 20 minutes about how Sasquatches and aliens are the same thing. So like, anytime you like believe just everything and like, then you believe nothing. And that really bums me out about these people. Like anytime anybody believes in like one sort of like weird conspiracy or cryptozoological thing, they believe in every single one. And it just... it bums me out. It makes everything unbelievable.
I see what you mean now. Yeah, I was going to say, like, what about cryptozoologists who have, like, the delineations of these creepy things? But you're not about that. You don't want, like, a Van Helsing who knows everything about every Pokemon out there. You want, like, the guy who only believes in Sasquatches. And when you confront about aliens, he's like, fuck aliens.
Yeah.
There's no such thing. There's just big feats men out there.
Yeah, that seems much more reasonable to me. Like, if some guy's like, yeah, man, I love these big featsmen and I believe in them, but that Loch Ness Monster, that's a bunch of bullshit. Like, I'm much more apt to believe that guy rather than the guy who has a theory about how aliens and big featsmen and vampires and Frankensteins are all in it together to take over the world and form a new world order of the Illuminati.
Like, all these guys are lizard people.
Yeah. Draculas and Frankensteins are really lizard people. You gotta believe me!
I want to meet the guy who's solely interested in El Chupacabra. Like, I love the idea that there is a creature called the goat sucker, and that he just sucks goats down to like a shriveled little carcass. And yeah, usually it's like the cryptozoologist crowd who will, you know, believe in the Chupacabra, believe in the Sasquatch, the Yeti, the aliens, the Draculas, the mummies, the Frankensteins. Well, not the Frankensteins. This is like Victorian literature, I guess.
I believe in Frankenstein. They're out there. Just because we haven't caught one yet doesn't mean they're not out there, Frisbee.
There's all these blurry photos of green Frankenstein men walking through the woods. Same guy.
That's him.
But yeah, I'd love to meet the guy who's just like, aliens? No, aliens aren't real. And yeah, forget about like getting off the planet and all this stuff. And, you know, he's a total proponent of like the ozone layer. Like, he's up on his new science and everything, but he just totally believes in El Chupacabra. He's like, ah, you better put your goats in a fucking barn tonight, because that little goblin's just going to suck the shit out of your goats.
That's probably true. I believe in the Chupacabra, sort of, in that I have to, otherwise I'd be calling a good friend of mine a liar. My friend Lewis, we went to high school together, and even before high school, I guess. I don't know. I knew him for a long time when we were in school. And one day we were just in science class. And, just out of nowhere, he was like, hey, you know, in Puerto Rico, where I'm from, my family, they don't like going out at night, you see, because we have these chupacabras. Just nonchalant as could be. And I was like, well, what the fuck is chupacabra? Like, I'd never heard of it in, like, 1997 or whatever. And he was like, oh, you know, they're these little animals that, like, eat our goats and stuff. But if there's enough of them, they might attack you, you know, if you go out at night. And so I was just, like, very frightened about this, because he just accepted it as fact. Like, it was just, like, he wasn't, like, trying to be spooky about it or, like, talk about this mysterious theory. Like, he just, his family knows very well that there are chupacabras in Puerto Rico.
Then that's the guy that I'm looking to meet, the guy that I was just describing. Like, I want to meet Lewis and Lewis's family. I want to go on a chupacabra hunting spree. I want to catch one in a Pokeball.
It would be super effective against ghosts. Yeah, so what is your other good scary movie?
Well, it's 28 Days Later, and I actually just recently watched this again with my brother, who had never seen it before. And there's parts of it that are kind of funny now, looking back on it. Some easily criticized parts that I'll get to later. But I remember this was one of those movies where I saw it with like two friends of mine, and they're both like very thick-skinned dudes. We all went to go see this movie that we thought sounded really badass, like a film from England about people eating each other and going crazy. Yeah, we'll all see this because we're badasses. And like within the first 10 minutes, this isn't giving anything away if you haven't seen the film. You've seen the film, right?
Indeed, I have.
Yeah. And the rage monkeys are all flipping out, like tears into one woman. I start kind of thinking, I remember sitting in the theater and thinking like, oh, this is kind of disarming. And then she vomits blood on the ground, transfers it to the other guy, vomits in his face, and he vomits in somebody else's face, and I just freak the fuck out. Like, if aliens freak you out that much, people vomiting uncontrollably is my Achilles heel for fear. Like, going back to The Ring, just stuff coming out of people's mouths, terrifying. I just think that's the grossest thing, and it freaks me out. Like, it's easy for you to eat food and be like, yum, that's it. But when stuff starts coming back up, I don't know what it is. It just freaks me out. And the entire movie, all those rage infected are making that creepy guttural noise. Remember? Like, it's almost as if they're like in mid-vomit all the time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All they want to do is just like get near you and vomit in your face and let all that blood and gunk trickle down and try to eat you, even though like you can just imagine their throats being, their insides being yuck.
Yeah, it's like being at Dollar Beer Night.
that's absolutely true. Yeah, that might have been why it was so terrifying. But I had to get up and leave when people started throwing up into each other's mouths. I'm like,
two zombies, one cup.
Exactly. Like, I was playing it off like I had to use the restroom right away. I'm like, oh, I forgot to use the restroom before the movie. Just walking really steadfast, trying to play it cool, but I had to, like, escape immediately. Because that was another movie I saw, like, opening day and just packed house. So, yeah, my initial thought was, like, all these people are just going to start throwing up on me and I'm going to be covered in this gunk and I'm going to go insane.
It's going to turn into that scene from Stand By Me, where everybody was throwing up blueberry pies on each other.
That one's almost as bad. And that's what I was trying to say, is like The Ring has that scene of like the girl being it flashes back to that girl in the closet who got affected by the videotape girl towards the beginning, and she's got her mouth open, like a little bit of gunk coming out. The girl in The Sixth Sense who's in that little blanket fort or under the bed, and she's vomiting, like got all that gunk coming out of her mouth, like the pea soup or whatever. Yeah, an Exorcist too, like gunk around the mouth. Just in horror movies, it creeps me out. Like day-to-day life, I can get by. In fact, I've gotten over the gag reflex, vomit fear, whatever that is. But whenever it's in a movie, I'm totally at odds with myself. I'm like, oh, this isn't real life at all. And it's completely available for my nightmares later on tonight. Plus, watching it recently, like there are some legitimate criticisms, but I think overall it still holds up as a good movie. The criticisms being like, there's this rage virus and there's that scene where they're in the tunnel in 28 Days Later and they're trying to change the tire and like the rats pass by them and they freak out saying, oh, the infected are coming. And sure enough, you hear like that half vomit screaming sound coming at them. I start getting like nauseous again and freaked out. What's bizarre is that they manage to get out of the tunnel and you see the shot of them like leaving the tunnel and the infected start, they're like chasing after the car. But then these people who are apparently infected with this rage virus, who only want to eat like living, chaseable things, they just start slowing down, like, you know, they're getting done running laps in gym class and they have to like walk it off. And we didn't get that. It's like, so they go from complete rage to complete lethargy. Like they're just going to take a seat now and get a drink of water. This doesn't make much sense.
Maybe they were injected with a sort of rage that's very similar to political rage, where you're just like, oh my God, they're passing this law. Oh, I've never been so angry in my life. But what are you going to do? You can't really fight it. The law's the law.
Election season rage.
Yeah.
They're gonna talk your ear off about who they're going to vote for up until after Election Day. And then then they'll just talk about Dancing with the Stars or something.
Yeah. Yeah, zombies are scary, though. Do you believe in zombies?
No, no.
Me neither.
But I love the idea of zombies. And I was curious about this. Like, there's some odd theories about, like, why people are scared of different things. Or why certain things are scary at different times, rather. And one of them was with vampires. Like, vampires were first kind of like this Eastern Bloc around the time when Bram Stoker's Dracula came out. It was this guy from the Balkans or something, like almost like a gypsy, just being transported to more of Central Europe. And I think it had something to do with, like, fear of the plague or another plague or just a immigrant invasion. And that's why, that's supposed to be why, like, that character was so effective and popular. And there's supposed to be some sort of reason why vampires are fascinating lately with Twilight, like something kind of similar. Like,
well, I think the reason that they're fascinating lately is because, 40-ish women really want to have sex with a hot 19-year-old kid. I think that's why those movies are popular.
And that kid will never grow old. He'll never get past 19. Yeah, maybe it is, like the youthful thing. That's probably what it is now. It's like people are obsessed with youth still and want to be youthful. But there's the theory that, like, vampires get, I believe that they get more popular during economic distress or some sort of social distress. So it's this one iconic figure that takes precedent, like Dracula or like whatever the guy from Twilight is. I can't remember his name.
Edward.
Edward, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Nosferatu was very popular during, like, World War One or shortly after World War One.
You're right. And with zombies, like, I always remember Romero's quote about it, like, Night of the Living Dead being the ultimate revolution. Romero described it as the ultimate revolution where everybody gets transferred. It's not so much about an idea, but, like, this physical transformation where everybody becomes dead, and that's the end result. And I was curious if it had anything to do, like, when people who are legitimately frightened by zombie movies are people who are generally just frightened of crowds or social interaction at all. And I know for my case, that's probably true. I don't know about other people. Like, are you particularly scared of zombie movies? I know you're particularly scared of Left 4 Dead, the video game.
Indeed I am. Yeah. But yeah, I would be scared of the prospect of zombies happening. But I don't think it has to do with crowds. Like, I mean, I don't like crowds, but I don't think my zombie fear has anything to do with that. I think people are afraid of zombies because they're afraid of, like you said earlier, like, plagues. And I mean, every time one guy gets a weird kind of flu, it's 24 hours a day on the news for 6 months, even though one guy died or whatever. We see this every couple of years. I think it's more has to do with that. Like, just the idea that, you know, you can shut yourself up in your house and, like, literally everybody you've ever known could be dying of this weird plague. And, you know, it's slowly going to, you know, catch up to you at some point. Like, I think that's what's scary about zombies.
That was actually something that struck a raw nerve with me with 28 Days Later. Now you mention it. That's probably more of the case. Like, I am quite the hypochondriac. So part of what vomiting on other people and just shots of people, like, vomiting on other people or, like, blood getting in somebody's eye and making them flip out, that was more likely the case. Like, I was definitely hitting another crest of a hypochondriac fear during that time. So that's definitely a huge part of it for me. Yeah.
I mean, I'd say that's probably, like, you know, humanity's biggest fear, I would think, like, deep down anyway. Because, I mean, like, you know, half of humanity was wiped out when the plague hit. So, like, that's probably sort of something that's been either ingrained into our DNA or, like, you know, either passed down, like, verbally, and it just kind of sticks with us that, yeah, at any given time, like, we could have, like, some weird bacteria pop up and everybody's just going to die. That's just how it is, you know? Like, with aliens and big feastmen and stuff, it's like, yeah, that stuff might be out there. Like, there might be something in the dark, perhaps. But, you know, it's very likely that some sort of infection is going to happen and just take out everybody. Because it's happened so many times before. Like, that's just something we have to live with, you know?
I agree with all of that. Sometimes half the world's going to die, and that sucks.
But it'll also be pretty sweet because then you get to live in a mall by yourself, like in Dawn of the Dead, and can't beat that. That's probably fun.
It looked like tons of fun.
Yeah, until Tom Savini showed up and started that stupid fucking pie fight. That was pretty retarded.
He's like a regular Groucho Marx, that guy. A regular Three Stooges rolled into one.
He's a regular Sideshow Bob.
Hey kids, I'm John Walsh from America's Most Wanted with some Halloween tips to make sure no one plays tricks with your treats. Make sure you take all your candy and other goodies home before you eat them. Don't sneak any snacks while you're going door to door. Let mom or dad look over your candy when you get home. Any candy or food that isn't wrapped should be thrown away. This year, let's trick or treat street smart.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to my world. Every night is Halloween. There's no way out. WCW shall rest in peace. Step to the madness.
Slim Jim presents WCW's Halloween Havoc.
And now, it's time for the lightning round.
Welcome back to Pool Party. We now have the lightning round. This is the part of the show where we talk about news and stuff. Up first, a dentist in Ohio is offering trick-or-treaters $1 per pound of their candy because he's trying to help out those teefers. yeah, I don't know. This seems like kind of a dick move, kind of a publicity stunt just to get people to know about your particular dentist office rather than other ones in town. And also he's a complete dickwad for trying to ruin Halloween for people. Although I guess, I dislike this guy for that. But on the other hand, like if you were to go out trick-or-treating and people were like to just, kind of dish out fives and tens and stuff rather than the candy, that might be kind of cool. So this is just kind of that, but with a middleman. So I'm kind of torn. I don't think he's doing it to, for the right reasons. I don't think he's giving these kids the cash, the hard cash, for the right reasons. But nonetheless, giving kids cash is pretty cool. I think he's being a dick about it, though, and trying to ruin Halloween, which I think that would be his point. I don't know. How do you feel about this guy? Would you trade in your candy for some money?
No, of course not. I mean, that stuff lasts you for, like, weeks when you're a kid.
That's true.
If I were to do it, I would just go for the clunky garbage candy that I wouldn't eat anyway. Like, that's how I'd go about it. I would basically just tear through before I knew I was going to his house and be like, all right, Smarties, you're going. Jujubes, this box of Jujubes, you're obviously going towards the dollar bill. And just sort of make out about a pound like that. Corn balls, those would go.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I'd be keeping like the Zag Nuts, the Hershey's, the Reese's peanut butter cups. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are all going like behind my back when I go up to the guy. It's a good effort, but it's also a good way to get rid of all the candy you don't want, all the treats you wouldn't want as a kid.
Yeah, that's a good point. It seems like about 35 or 40% of your candy that you get is like shit anyway. So you might as well just turn it in for money and buy some good candy. But I mean, like, $1 a pound is like not a very good conversion rate because it's like $4 for like a pound of Reese's, like peanut butter cups or something.
That's unfortunately the way of economics with certain things. I kind of liken it to when I would have to filter out my CD collection or like even with records, like when I knew I had a bunch of crappy albums. And I would be in a real need or bind for gas money. You're like, well, this is a quick way to do it. And you turn in like 30 CDs and get about $4.50 back. Like, yeah, this is how much all that stuff is worth. Really? $4.50? Besides, I'm not even sure what the doctor's going to do with all that candy.
Yeah, that's another thing I was thinking about. I think candy's got a pretty sweet shelf life. So maybe he's just trying to do like some really cheap Halloween candy shopping for next year. Once he gets all this candy, he's just gonna throw it in the closet, dust it off next year, and hand it out.
Yeah, I could totally see that happening. Being like, all right, I've turned a new leaf, and just alternate each year. Following that, he's gonna be like, oh, okay, time to get those teeth in good shape, you guys. Seriously. Dollars for pounds. How about that? Yeah. And then the following year, just do it all over again.
This dentist goes on to say that candy can lead to hyperactivity and weight gain. Guess what, dentist? That ain't got shit to do with you. You fix the teeth. You don't have to worry about hyperactivity and weight gain. That's not your area. Stay out of weight gain.
You dork.
You piece of crap dentist. Another thing we have is that in Mexico City, there's a big clown convention. As is wont to happen from time to time. About 300 clowns were at this event, and they stopped their non-stop laughs, as I'm sure was happening, because clowns are so funny. They had a 15-minute silence to try to gather some appreciation to the idea of world peace. So I think that everything we've tried, like peace through might has been tried, peace through talking to your buddies has been tried, negotiations, peace through commerce has been tried, but peace through clowns has never been tried. And I think if anything's going to work, it might be this.
Might as well be this.
Yeah.
You know, just on some face paint. Like, Bozo the Clown was the closest I could see coming to world peace. Yeah. Just a bunch of people getting together, trying to throw ping pong balls into bucket number 6. We all have the same goal. And then Billy Corgan showed up once and played with the Bozo band. That's true.
Is that right?
Because he was from like Illinois or Chicago.
Yeah.
And he just showed up on set one day. Like, I would always see, again, like you mentioned earlier, I wasn't really afraid of clowns because I grew up watching Bozo the Clown.
Yeah.
With Cookie the Clown and Spifford View Q Farquhar. Like, they were just great. They did sketches and junk, and they were always, like, pretty entertaining. He had a very similar demeanor to, like, Conan O'Brien. It was nutty. It was actually quite good.
Yeah.
And Billy Corgan was there.
Yeah, going back to this Billy Corgan thing, you say he showed up and he played with the Bozo band, and I didn't like Zwan either, but I think it's pretty rude to call them a Bozo band. I mean, come on, Frisbee, that's mean.
Waka waka. But yeah, they genuinely. No, it was just him with whoever their DJ was. There's some guy with a kind of a mullet. He looked like
Billy Ray Cyrus.
It was a very awkward time.
A weird time for music.
Yeah, yeah. For the 2 or 3 consecutive years that I watched Bozo the Clown as a kid, every time they go to commercial break, it was just achy breaky heart. All right, let's go to commercial. We'll be right back. How can that be scary?
Yeah.
Actually, you mentioned this happened in Mexico City, and I do have kind of like a scarier clown story. It's not like a spooky clown story, but it's definitely... it would be an awful situation to experience. My friend's brother-in-law was from Mexico, and he had a story about his family, like I think it was his mom and sister, were on a bus, and it was like midday. This was a city kind of outside of Mexico City, if I remember this correctly. And this clown gets on the bus, like a fully dressed clown, guy in a clown outfit, face painted and everything. And he's got a guitar or some kind of musical instrument, like a guitar and accordion, and he's singing this song as he's walking down the aisle. Like, he gets on the bus starts rolling, and this guy in this clown suit with musical instruments, like, walking down the middle of the aisle, just strumming the guitar and singing, like, this beautiful kind of operatic voice, almost like a Pagliacci clown type character, you know? And he's singing, you know, like how his life is very miserable and how he has to keep laughing and everything. And it's kind of jokey, like there's some puns in it, and the entire bus is getting into it and they're just kind of like clapping along and enjoying it during this bus ride. And then he sings in the song like, so in order to make my life better, I'm going to take money from others and I'm going to start with you. And everybody's kind of laughing, and then he pulls out a gun, and he's like, no, seriously, I'm going to take your money now. And so everybody has to, like, give him money. So instead of being, like, this fun sort of bus act that you donate money to afterwards, like on the New York City subway, you're just kind of like, they'd ask for whatever change you have. Mm-hmm. This guy in a clown suit sings a song about how he's upset and he's going to rob people, and then he actually robs them.
See, I bet this guy started out doing his act and then accepting tips But now he just thinks the tip should goddamn be mandatory. This son of a bitch. This is what I'm talking about, Frisbee. This is what the world is coming to.
And oddly enough, it did not start in San Francisco. This was Mexico.
Mm-hmm. That's how it starts.
He's the most self-deserving clown ever.
The most entitled clown waitress I've ever seen in my life.
He didn't serve any food that day, but he still demanded tips.
I guess at first I was goofing on these clowns who are trying to have world peace, but maybe they're doing the right thing if other clowns are out there pointing guns at people.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a noble effort. It's a weird effort, though, and it kind of reminds me of what you're just saying about the dentist being like, oh, what about hyperactivity and obesity? I mean, clowns are just supposed to make you laugh, and they're like, well, what about this world peace thing? Like, come on, clowns. Stick to your M.O. Make with the yuck yucks.
This is not your wheelhouse, clowns.
Or help me win some Archer brand cookies with this bucket game. I always wanted to play the bucket game on Bozo the Clown, but...
Yeah, it's probably hard, though.
Yeah. But when you're watching it, it's like when you're watching basketball and you're like, oh, you could have made that three-pointer. You're always like, oh,
yeah,
you could have made that bucket number six.
Yeah, it was like that time that Dirk Nowitzki showed up on Bozo and did the bucket game.
He wowed everyone.
That's true. And LeBron was also on that episode, but he choked something fierce.
Totally got pissed after bucket number three and just walked away. Took his talents elsewhere.
Yeah,
he's taking his talents to Double Dare or Legends of the Hidden Temple.
The last thing we have in this lightning round is that the cops, the Georgia cops, are on the hunt for a man who firebombed a Taco Bell because his chalupa didn't have enough meat in it.
Fired the disco, fired the Taco Bell. It's finally happened.
It has been prophesied.
Electric Six was right. So much more they're going to predict.
But yeah, I'm fully with this guy because sometimes Taco Bell skimps out on you and they don't give you enough good stuff. I mean, the meat's the only reasonable part of the goddamn chalupa or anything else they have. I certainly don't want your stupid brown lettuce or your shitty onions. The meat's the only reasonably tasty part. So if you don't have enough meat, you're going to get firebombed.
God, once again, just proving that only terrible things happen at Taco Bell's. Mm-hmm. Not just the food, but just the experiences. Good Lord. Like, there was the rat infestation at the New York Taco Bell. Like, the New York Taco Bell combination, I don't think it was Pizza Hut, like that Das Racist song. There's combination something, like Kentucky Fried Chicken or whatever. Some gross, weird things that shouldn't be together. But yeah, floor carpeted in rats. Like when no one was there.
That's gross.
Yeah, there's video of it on YouTube still. Of just like people gathered at the windows of this thing like after hours. Like, what the hell? All you can see is just gray fur and billions of rat eyes just moving along. Friend of the show, Phil, who was on way, way back when, he can enlighten us to a story about a guy who was fired at a particular Taco Bell in a small town. And after being fired from Taco Bell, he came up and lined up all the closing shift employees on their knees and murdered them execution style. It was horrifying.
Wow.
Yeah. This is a story from a girl he dated. I think she grew up in that town and told the story to everybody. It was very alarming. And I remember that it ended with the line, and there was blood everywhere. And just as you'd imagine there would be. And again, at a Taco Bell. Nothing good happens at Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's true.
Except for the Demolition Man promotion, because that was kind of neat.
Sure. Yeah, that was sweet. Yeah, since moving to California, I have not been to a Taco Bell because they have Del Taco out here. And that shit's it's way better than Taco Bell. Put Taco Bell to shame with their meatless chalupas and their bullshit. But yeah, so that's the lightning round. I think now we're going to switch things up and go to everybody's favorite correspondence-based segment of this show. It's a segment where Frisbee reads the mail that we've gotten. You can email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com if you want Frisbee to read your mail. And this segment is called Frisbee Got Mail.
Frisbee got mail.
So, Mr. Frisbee, do you have any mail for us this week?
I have some mail, Parker. I have one from previous guest, Aaron Larson, and fun fan of the show. Aaron writes, "Hey guys," as the title, and the body reads, "You are the best. I've been an avid listener since the beginning, and I love the show. There's a blanket statement of greatness because I have two bits of constructive criticism that I like to shoot your way. Number one, Parker, I think we all know what the lightning round is and what is, and that's the longest part of the show. When I settle in for a marathon session of 10 shows, in parentheses, part of an intense meditation regimen, in parentheses, it gets repetitive and breaks up the pace of the show. Trust the listener, man. We can keep up. What do you think?" I don't think he announced it that way this time, actually.
Yeah. No, not this week. But yeah, I like to do that because, you know, if there's somebody new listening to the show, they might go, "Oh, the lightning round. This is going to be short and to the point. This is going to be a real quick segment. This is going to be great." And then when we go on for 45 minutes about, you know, wieners or Kipper Lacey or whatever it is we talk about during the lightning round, then they might be inclined to just totally turn off the entire show based on the fact that lightning rounds are supposed to be quick and easy. Also, I said it one time on like episode 4 or something, and being a creature of habit, it just stuck. I don't do it on purpose, and I'll try to stop.
Don't beat yourself up over it. Sounds like you're dying.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, forget about it. Number two, he says, "Ban John Holmes. He is the iceberg to your Titanic, the Yoko Ono to your Beatles, the Geely to your Bennifer. You can pump up the funny just by banning him again, preferably on a show that he is co-hosting. Not trying to write your show here or anything, but I think Pool Party Radio can be fantastic with one less John Holmes leeching off your greatness." I don't know about that.
Yeah, I did really enjoy banning him and keeping him banned, but I mean, if we're going to ban him anymore in the future, we're going to need a pretty good reason.
Yeah, like one of us has to lose a toe. Not necessarily because of him, but we can surely blame it on him for some reason.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'll probably be his fault. I mean, he, like we said earlier, he does get pretty drunk, and it's not out of the realm of possibility that he'll make one of us lose a toe.
Agreed. So there's always the possibility it might happen again, but not very likely in the future. But something to consider, and interesting criticism. Yeah. I totes like your show, and I hope we can one day be friends. Yours always, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's Frisbee Got Mail. Like we said, poolpartyradio@gmail.com. If you have something to say, if you want to disagree with us, or agree, or tell us to stop giving big summaries to a certain segment of the show, or call me a monster, anything you want to do, email us. Frisbee will read. And that being said, we've come to the end of the show. The saddest part. See, now I feel bad saying the saddest part because I've said that before.
Oh, don't let it get
to you.
Now
Aaron Larson is really, really going to stick it to me over this.
He put a bug in your ear.
Well, yeah, this is the end of the show. Thanks for listening. I would personally like to thank everyone for listening because I realize that's something we've never done before. I was listening to another podcast, and at the end, they thanked everybody for listening, and I realized we don't do that. Junk Food Dinner does that. We've never done it. So I want to say thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, me too.
Frisbee too. Rude Frisbee too. He didn't want to say hi to you earlier, but he'll thank you for listening. Like we said earlier, go to our website, poolpartyradio.com. We have all the episodes up there. Occasional news items. Very occasional. Mostly we just have the episodes. We've got links to our buddies, other people who've been on the show, links to stuff that they're doing, other podcasts, and things of that nature. There's also a link to our iTunes where you can go. You can subscribe to us. That way we go effortlessly into your iTunes every week. And you can also give us reviews and comments and things like that. 5-star reviews, if you would be so kind, on iTunes. That would really help us out because then more people will find us. And then we can thank them for listening.
Facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Follow us on Twitter @ParkerArizona and me @JasonFrisbee.
Yeah, and the show as well @poolpartyradio. We don't use it that much. And I know last week I said we would never use it again, but I've tweeted on there a couple of times since then. So we'll probably keep it up just to keep up appearances. But really, if you want the real scoop on what's going on, follow me or Frisbee, because we update a shitload rather than the pool party one that doesn't update that much. But yeah, so that's I would say everything. Next week, we'll have more stuff. Less Halloween-y stuff, as Halloween will be over. But more stuff in general, I guess. Probably some guests, some jokes.
And a whole lot of fun.
And Billy Corgan and the Bozo Band will be joining us. So yeah, so until then, I never know what the fuck to say at the end here.
Just end it.
So yeah, so until next week, we're out of here. See ya.
Bye.
I don't trust a doctor that wears a leather jacket.